You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Hard-hitting analysis.
You've met a Chaz? Chaz, with a two Zs.
I met him yesterday. He goes, fan of the show, my name's Chaz.
Sure, I guess you could call it that.
Is Chaz a real name?
It is now.
Like you're saying, but I'm talking about like on his birth certificate.
It's a rich person's name.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Nostalgic feel in the city. Nostalgic vibe in Toronto. We're back in 2014.
No,
2015. We're back. We're back. People are freaking out. People are booing. Everyone hates each other. It's a nostalgic vibe
in
the city of Toronto.
Where, I mean, honestly, like, you want to get right at this?
What else are we going to do? I'm thinking maybe we open the phone lines up this afternoon.
I think is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
But is it open the phone lines for just a specific question?
Jamie, let's just hear what the people have to say. I know you don't want to deal with idiots.
No.
Neither do I. If they're an idiot.
Well, there was a bunch of idiots in the building last night booing Jake Gardner. To me, that's idiotic.
Why is that idiotic?
Because you're, sixth place in the NHL and it's January and you're booing a guy that you are really going to need to have success in the playoffs. Like, why would you boo that? I don't understand.
Well,
that's the part I don't understand.
Well, if you wanted to go and acquire this garbage more than I have, because I was on with Jay and Danny last night, and
I think the
response I get is, you know what? We pay $200. We'll boo
that.
Whoever the hell we want.
That's fine.
Which is fine. Go ahead.
I get that.
Boo the guy if you want.
You guys are saying that you're idiots if you boo.
No, I'm saying
I don't see how it's idiotic if
to specifically boo a player.
Well, one player
that's on your team.
I would say the whole team deserved to be booed off the ice last night. That never happens.
Yeah.
What drives me nuts is that all of a sudden this city, the hypocrisy that is just rife throughout the city and the fan base and the media right now.
You got to explain rife.
You said ripe.
It's everywhere.
Okay? Everywhere.
All you hear is that building. It's too quiet. There's no emotion. Then there's some loudness, and there is some emotion. Well, not that type of loudness. Not that type of emotion. What do you want? Do you want nothing, or do you want something?
That's the biggest debate. What happens in that building? Like, have you ever been to a Yankees game, a Yankee Stadium?
They'll boo Aaron Judge if he strikes.
Yeah.
Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton, he struck out, four or five times straight at Yankee Stadium early in? Third game.
I remember that.
Booed off the field.
Yeah.
Did people say, oh, the Yankees are the worst fan base in the world? How mean. How could he possibly do that?
It's a good point, but you know what they do at the beginning of the game? All kinds of chants. Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'd love to see that, too. But let's not make a mountain out of a molehill here. It was a couple of spattered boos. Well, let's not pretend like it was the worst thing that's ever happened in the building.
But okay, then it's 50 dopes, and they're dopes for doing that.
Why are they dopes? That's the former athlete speaking.
Well, great, because when Jake Gardner, they ask him for an extension, and he goes, go to hell.
He's going to make his decision because of one game in January.
I'm not saying that, but it's not one game in January. Like, this affects... Did you see Mitch Marner's media last night? He looked like he was going to cry. He was emotional about it. He was pissed off about it. I guarantee you, he's sitting there going, like, this is a guy who's popular in the dressing room. Like, I'm actually standing up for Jake Gardner. I think he's a hell of a player. And this is we're guilty of this, including myself and all of us. We're always looking at what the player isn't instead of what he is. You know how valuable a 50-point defenseman is in the National Hockey League right now? And you're going to treat him like garbage because he didn't have an off night?
Do you actually think he got treated like garbage? Let's have some perspective, Noodles.
I will say this. The booing,
garbage?
I think it's...
That's garbage. You booed a player on your team when you're a top-flight team. How many else?
Let's get to one of the essential facts of this. He's got to play better.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
I don't see that being acknowledged by anyone. Everyone's just complaining about
the
people booing.
No, I'm acknowledging it. He has to play better.
I 100% agree with that, too. Jake Gardner has to be better. But so does, to your point, everyone else on that
team.
The
whole team.
And it is a fan's right to boo. I get that. But have some context with it. Like, are you booing because of last night? Are you booing because of Game 7? Are you booing because... Like, to me, that's where I say the word dope and idiotic.
I think, Jamie, the one thing, it was like... people put game seven in the back of their brain and they're like, I need one game to
get rid of that type
no,
of thing?
No, to
the trigger type,
to trigger
this type of
that
reaction.
Game, that's and then point. I'm going to yes. go nuts.
I don't disagree with
and
that.
And that was the one game, that was the one play where they said, you know what, that's the same guy that did in game seven. He was minus five, and I'm going to do it again.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. I'll bet you point. Jake Gardner was wondering all offseason, what is the reaction going to be? This is a guy, he's in his eighth season in Toronto.
Right.
As he said last night, that's the first time he's heard from a few guys in the stands booing him. That's actually a pretty good accomplishment. If right. you spend anywhere in pro sports 8 years, and that's the first time you really hear anyone right. voicing their displeasure, it's actually a pretty good run. I'm not saying that one player should be should
that's
be
my point.
Targeted. I think the whole team, their effort last night was atrocious,
right.
and there's been a couple of those examples. You know, the Islanders game a couple of weeks ago was a terrible effort. Last night they got their doors blown off by Colorado. From start to finish, it wasn't close.
Right.
But I don't think this is a mean-spirited fan base in general. I don't think it's a hard place to play. Like, we get caught up in this bubble, like, it's so hard here. Again, Giancarlo Stanton had been in New York for, like, 3 days, and he gets booed off the field. Gardner's been here 8 years.
Deals, but, I mean, if you want to boo somebody, boo William Nylander. He signed a massive deal.
But he's supposed to be allowed a grace period.
Well,
like, no
I
one's
that.
Allowed to voice a displeasure. No one's allowed
it's
to...
It's not about that. I just, to me...
Everyone's a dope or an idiot if you don't like something.
But here's the point. Okay, if you're trying to kiss Kawhi's ass to stay... Okay? Like, is Jake Gardner chopped liver?
No.
People are acting like he's a terrible hockey player. He hasn't played well. Guess what you need? We just talked about this yesterday. You need defensemen because your defensive core is not good enough.
But what are the fans supposed to do to make Jake Gardner, in particular, play better? What, are you supposed to give him a round of applause every time he touches the puck? I mean, that's
I'm
not
just saying, but
reasonable either.
You're asking for, if you want a player...
That's maybe fair. You make a good stretch pass. It's like...
Well, if you're making it... But the point being is if you're... If you're asking this guy in a perfect world to take a little bit of a haircut to extend so that you can shore up your defensive core so that you can go and get somebody else,
well, what I think you got to keep in mind
there. This could affect his psyche here.
I think what you got to keep in mind here, Noodles, is I don't think the fans are asking him to do that. He's a very polarizing player. It's always been split. Half the fans see him for what he is,
right.
The other half see him for what he isn't. You know, Kyle Dubas and Shanahan and company will make that decision on his
right.
future. I would guess the people that were booing him last night have made up their minds. They don't like him. They don't want him here. And I understand that's tough. And in terms of his psyche, you're right.
I
don't
just,
know what's
going
to happen.
About,
but
like,
I will say, for him to overcome Game 7 and play... Now, he hasn't been spectacular this year, but he hasn't been terrible.
But if he...
I think he's overcome it for the most part.
I think so, too. Let's not forget, like... If you had him in Morgan Riley's spot on the first power play, he'd have a lot more points.
Probably would.
Like, he's been relegated. Not relegated, that's the wrong word. But he's playing second power play. He's playing 5-on-5. He's playing a different type of role than he has in the past. And I think he's done a good job. Is he soft defensively? Sure. But there's other players in that room that are soft defensively. I think you have to just accept what he is as a player. And maximize that. That's up to the coaching staff. That's up to the team within that room to play the system. Like, I think we're all focused on the defensive core. I'm not going to let the forwards off the hook here.
No.
The forwards have been getting a free pass for how soft they play in their own zone. You know, the D aren't making great stretch passes or not making great direct plays. The forwards have been, there's been a lot of drive-bys and a lot of 50-50 battles that have been lost.
You talk about, you know, pampering and making sure that the superstars feel good about it. Auston Matthews needs to get going. Like, last night, he got beat on the first empty net goal. He's 6'2", 230.
Yeah.
You get out-muscled by a guy half your size. That's not acceptable. You can't have that. He was on the ice watching a bunch of goals last night. There were times in shifts where he wasn't out there that long, and it was like he was waiting to get to the bench.
Yeah.
And he got to the bench. You know, and he's the engine of this team. When they're really rocking, it's because Matthews is rocking. And he's in a rut. It's not the end of the world.
No, and that's...
They're going to be fine, but they're too good to put forth efforts like they did last night and at times recently. I mean, this is a rut that they're in, and I think acknowledging it, there's nothing wrong with that.
You make a good point, but I just think that's where... I guess we differ, because I think when a guy is struggling, like, try and prop him up. You don't need to cheer him, but you don't need to kick him in the junk either. Like, that's the thing. Like, Jake Gardner's play on that goal It was a soft play. Freddie Anderson could have helped him out. I didn't like Freddie
there
on that
There goal. Is a balance, Jamie. It's like these guys all are NHL players. They deserve to go out there. And yeah. If they continue to go out there and make mistakes that are ending up in the back of your net, it's like there's two different options. You prop them up. Okay, here, you keep going. Don't worry about it. You're good enough.
Yeah.
You know, you're a big part of the team. And then there's the other option of sit your ass on the bench and watch for a bit. Or maybe go upstairs and watch. Or you know the deal. But it's which one do you pick?
Right.
You have to find that balance. Which one is going to make this player be successful? Is it, don't worry, go out there, you're great, or maybe sit down for a while and watch for a bit.
And he did get that, too,
and it's
right?
Also,
but
he
these
did
guys
at the end
with
of
the guaranteed
second.
Contracts and the amount of money they make, I don't think the takeaway saying sit down and watch, I don't think that affects them.
I also don't think it's the role of the fans in the building to make the players feel good about themselves.
No,
that's not
fine.
The way this works. You pay your money for the players to entertain you.
Okay,
that's the way
right.
The business
you're
works.
You're right, but then don't bitch if they don't do salute gate. Remember how big of a pain in the ass that was?
Yeah, because it was stupid by the players.
And it was stupid by the fans to bitch about Salutegate.
How?
I still think that's the most embarrassing thing.
How was that embarrassing?
I'm sorry.
It was manufactured by the players
and
to give
what?
It back to the
and
fans.
And again, you guys know where saluting the fans started with. Darius Kasparaitis.
But that doesn't it doesn't matter where it
so
started.
So it's not this long-standing tradition.
It doesn't matter where it started. If Carolina stopped it doing all the antics right. They did tonight, let's say they play it because a fan threw a jersey on the ice. You don't think people would be like, well, they stopped it because of that out of protest to the fans?
All I'm
of course
saying,
they would.
All I'm saying is that there is should be a level. I get it. You pay your money. Go ahead. But if Jake Gardner says to you know what, I don't need this anymore. I like, oh, you said it last night on Jay and Dan. If he puts his hands up and said, get me the hell
because
out of here.
Because he got booed once?
I don't
by
know.
50 people?
Who knows? Who
if
knows
that's
how
the case,
life, but
then
here's
you,
the thing,
you got a
Brian,
problem
we don't
to
know
begin
this.
With.
We don't know what his life has been like in this city if people walk up to him. Believe me, there
I
are idiots
not.
That walk up to people all the time.
That's a big difference. Okay, don't put words in my mouth that I'm concluding that that's the case. I'm not saying Jake Gardner should be hearing it online, should
right.
be treated poorly in society or anything like that. That's
right.
Stupid.
No, I'm not.
And it's uncalled for. A couple of boos in a game because he played poorly.
I don't think it was a couple
poorly.
Of boos. That was louder than we heard it through the TV.
Okay. Well, we'll ask Ray. Ray was there, and we'll
yeah.
see. I mean,
I think it was idiotic by the fans. They're allowed to do it, but that's the dopes that do that. And careful what you wish for. That's what I say.
But what is?
Careful
I don't
what
understand what
for.
That means.
You want Jake Gardner out of the lineup? Guess what? Who comes up?
Well, that's
who's going to play in Jake Gardner?
That would be on Dubas to figure that out.
I know.
I mean, let's be honest. The fans, they really the voice. You boo from a team perspective. You boo
right.
for two reasons. You're either sending a message to ownership and management, or you're sending it to the players.
Right.
And, you know, I think this team, if the team collectively were booed off the ice last night, that would be a message to the players because you're
right.
too good and the expectations are too high. You're a good team. You should be better than that.
Right.
In 14 and 15, when they were a mess, people weren't throwing the waffles on the
right.
ice because of Dion and Phil.
No.
It was
known kind of the figureheads
in the ownership.
Right.
That's why, again, the salute gate, which I don't even care to get into anymore, but the players took it personally. That's not what people were protesting. If you've been a Leaf fan your whole life, you know that there's been some dark times.
Right.
And that's why, again, I take it personally when this fan base gets challenged for their passion, for how much they support this team. They didn't go to the playoffs for 10 years. They
yeah.
haven't won a playoff run in 15 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of people boo randomly, and it's like, they're idiots, they're dopes, this place sucks.
Well,
that's a joke.
Those people
that's a
that
joke
booed,
of a take.
My take is that those people who booed are idiots. And like
well,
I
don't
say,
paint if, the whole fan base, I guess
not,
is what I'm saying.
I'm not painting the fan base.
And I
base
think
that.
It came from a position of passion. I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying I would have been booing Jake Gardner.
I'd never do that.
I wouldn't boo a player
individually. I
don't have
the energy to boo an individual player at a game.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't do it, but I don't think they're doing it because they're fair weather fans
right.
or
they
because they hate
I
the sport
that.
Or that they hate Jake Gardner personally, you know, the man.
Right.
I think
right.
it's that they're passionate about the team.
And I respect that, but I also don't respect the booing and the idiots who do that. That's
okay.
just my personal opinion. I think they're dopes.
I think you got a good take, Hazy.
Well,
it's
I mean,
like, what did you say? 100 people are booing, whatever.
I don't know.
Like
how
if
many
it turns,
were booing,
if, like if it turns into the whole building, because
that shouldn't happen.
But who the
Larry
hell knows
Murphy
where this
thing
is going?
Is stupid.
Well,
this, and shouldn't
that's,
happen.
This stuff generates, and people get it in their head. They're like, you know what? As soon as that guy touches the puck, I'm going to boo him.
I hope that doesn't happen.
And that's what
and
I
if
don't,
I'm him,
that's
I'm
where
gonna,
I was sitting there last night. Sorry to interrupt.
But this is a one-off, though,
I hope it
if we're still having the conversation in a week or two, then it's a very different story.
And ultimately, and at the end of the day, he has the opportunity to go out the next game at home and be the best player on the ice and make people cheer. End of story.
And they will. I believe that Leaf fans will. Yeah. I believe that if you know they go into Tampa, Florida, they're back home against Arizona on Sunday night. But you know, I think it was a one-off because the team is in a rut.
I hope so, because the team is a very good team, and he's a big part of that.
He is a big part
of it. You don't want to mess with the psyche of that group, because, like I say, I'm watching the media last night. Like, Babs handled it very well because he's well-spoken. I looked at Marner. I'm like, this guy is like a little bit shaken.
Well, my response to that would be that probably speaks to how easy it's been for these guys.
That's fair.
Like, it's been a really nice fun ride. The rookie year, 96 points into the playoffs. Last year, 105. Everyone's getting paid. You know,
that's
not pro sports all the time.
No.
This probably isn't a bad thing. You know, the little rut they're in, maybe some noise. Maybe you get your back up against the wall. Maybe you do psychologically turn a little bit and say, all right, it's us versus the world.
Right.
Go for it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to get rocking and make sure that you win as many games as possible and put yourself in a position to succeed. I'm not anti-Jake Gardner at all. I think the play last night, you know.
There were three mistakes on that play. Marner giving it away, Jake soft on that play, and Frederik Andersen.
He could have helped them. That is a perfect example of a goalie being able to, you know, save
your
player.
Exactly.
And if he saved it, it would have become a completely forgotten play.
Well, what it would have been was like, there's Jake with another turnover, another soft play. Like, I'm not saying this guy is a Norris Trophy winner. I just think that what is at a premium right now in the National Hockey League? Puck moving defenseman. He's what you have, and I think you've got to build around him. If he had a stable partner, like Erik Karlsson play with Mark Methot. I look at Justin Schultz got ran at Edmonton. He ended up playing very well in Pittsburgh, where he was slot prop.
I don't think Jake Gardner's being run out. He's a free agent. I don't think they're going to have money anywhere. He's been here for eight years.
You're right. If this guy wanted to stay longer and maybe wanted to, like, stuff like that doesn't help. That's my personal opinion.
I hear you, Noodles, but again, I think if that would be an indicator of him waiting for an example to leave anyway. If one game in January where some people boo him at the end of the game means he doesn't want to be here anymore, then go to Philly.
Yeah.
You know, go to New York, go to Boston, go to Chicago, go to these tough American cities where they you talk about Larry Murphy treatment. They got 100 guys they could name. There's one in Toronto. There's been one Larry Murphy. And it was ridiculous. I'm not saying I want to see it. It shouldn't happen.
Didn't Kaber go through it here, too?
Who?
Kaber.
Well, he did. Yes, he did. And that was about the contract. And but, you know, when you look at Gardner, like, that play, I think what likely sparked the reaction was that it wasn't a mistake. It was simply effort-based. You know, when you use the term effortless, 9 times out of 10, it's a compliment. You know, it speaks to natural ability, composure, the ability to slow down a very fast game.
Right.
It becomes a criticism when you're putting up less effort than the guy you're going against.
Right.
And last night, you're right, Freddie could have bailed him out. Marner didn't have to make that play. But that was not a 50-50 battle. That was like an 80-20
in favor of Jake. And all he had to do was get the puck. And if you watch the play, right before he's supposed to get the puck, he decides not to get the puck. And it's just, it's a goofy play. It's a bad play by any caliber of defenseman in the NHL. Yep. End of story.
We're off and running. 416-870-1050.
We're going to take calls, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to take some calls. We're loaded already. We got a million people texting
in. Have one of these dopes that booed last night call in, and I want to have him state their case.
If you booed last night, call us, because I would like to hear.
Because I don't even want to hear from them.
Why not, Noodles? Let's hear from the people, okay? Text us 105050. Email us live at tsn1050.ca. There's a movement ongoing on Twitter as well that we sparked yesterday during the show.
Awesome.
And I got to get some more updates on that, because there are some people sending in their archive. Their Fitbit numbers and their heart rate app numbers, and they're astonishingly low. So we'll tell you about that. Phone lines, Boogate, Gardner Gate, Leafs losing. We'll get to that next. Bar texting in. I'm with Noodles on this. For a fan base of a historic franchise, they waffle at the drop of a dime. Well, listen, this is a scarred fan base psychologically. There's no denying that. You know, there are a lot of people now using the 18-wheeler references and all that.
But that, to me, that's where I'm trying to defend
the situation. That's outrageous.
It's January, and you're having a great season.
Yes, you are.
Like,
they're in a rut right now. They're in a slump.
Every team has a rut.
Happens.
Tampa's going to go through a rut at some point this year. Like, that's where I'm trying to say, like, relax. It is a little bit of a rut. You're disappointed, but, like, I get it, but I don't get it. I think I'm more disappointed that, you know, I could see it's bubbled over on Jake. Fine. Dig yourself out of it, Jake. Be better. That's what everyone's asking. No doubt about that. But this is January, and you're sitting nicely in the standings, and you've got an opportunity to go right back up and look at the schedule. It's a little softer. You can dig in here. That's what I guess that's my disappointment in it, is it's not down the stretch in a play. That play last night didn't cost them the playoffs. Like, they'll be fine.
No, it didn't. I think it was the context of the play that led to the booing. It was simply an effort play. And, you know,
Jake Gardner. And he needs to be better.
Yeah, and Gardner's got that, again, he's an effortless type player, which is positive 9 times out of 10, because it means you slow the game down and you've got a skill set. And
like I was saying, I know you get to it quickly, but I was saying this off air, like, if he was like number 4 in your depth chart or 5, then you could live with it. Like, he's your second best defenseman.
Which I think speaks to the importance, though, of him getting going. They need him. You know, you're right. The fans have to recognize that they need him. But Jake Gardner's got to understand.
Correct.
His team needs him to be, you know, playing well.
Correct.
He's a very important piece.
Absolutely.
Phone lines?
Let's do it.
Brad, up in the bridge. We had to start Woodbridge. Bradley, what's on your mind?
Hey guys, thank you for taking my call. You guys have one of like the best sports panel shows like going, I guess, in North America.
Nice. North America.
It's actually the best, but thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
TNT guys.
We're better than them. We like them, but we're better than them. Go ahead. What do you make of this whole scene in Toronto right now?
Yeah. Well,
did we lose him?
All right. That's great. I got to let you go. Come on, Al. I know you don't screen a lot of calls here, buddy, but we're doing this for the first time.
What was that, your uncle or something, Al?
I think he was reaching
and like hung up.
I know, like he was reaching for a script. I think we just don't have, you know, a lot
we're
of
not
time
doing
here.
It.
Well,
that's
we're
why
doing
we
it.
Don't. This is the hazards of taking calls.
Smitty's up next. With a name like that, I know he's going to be a rock star. What's up, buddy?
Hey, the thing is, like, Gardner's a great hockey player, but you got to recognize he needs some defensive help on the backside. He's been beat a number of times, not taking the defensive side of the puck. And I think if I was Babcock, I'd be looking at the defensive coach and say, you recognize he's got a lot of skill going forward, but you really need to coach him on the back end, what he's doing.
Well,
he's paired with Nikita Zaitsev. I don't know what else. Like, what do you want to do? Put him with Hainsey? Like, what are you looking
for? It's positioning on the puck, guys, right? When he's going for a puck, a lot of times his body positioning isn't the best, and he's trying to make a play that isn't there sometimes. Maybe he's just taking that puck into the corner and not trying to make a play out of it.
Well, that's the thing about the modern game.
Positional stuff, he's saying it's upgrade his position.
How old is he?
But that's the problem.
28.
Is he
27?
28?
He's not spending the summers up at, you know, Chesswood Arena at a defenseman's school. It's just, Jake Gardner is who he is and what he is.
Yeah.
This is, and, you know, those, you talk about it, and I understand what you're saying. The bad plays are amplified because they end up in the back of your net the way they did last night. But 90% of the time, it turns into a very smart play where, yes, it feels like he's on a tightrope a little bit, but it leads to one of those stretch passes or a quick out, and you're gone. And that is what Gardner can do.
Me and Jamie played against Ray Bourque our whole career, and as good as Ray Bourque was, once or twice a game, he was throwing a pizza right up the middle.
Wasn't his nickname in Boston sometimes Giveaway Ray?
He would make so many other plays that would impact the game positively. You take it. And Jake's got to figure out what his ratio is going to be.
Yep.
Yeah,
I agree with
you guys.
That's a good point.
The other bad goal last night, guys, was that one by Kadri coming up the boards. He should have been aware somebody was behind him, and maybe that was Anderson not talking to him. But he was pickpocketed, and that thing ended up in the back of the net. So those are all defensive zone plays, so there's got to be more communication going on out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, listen, that's thanks for the call, Smitty. That's the focal point of the team over the next, you know, 35 games or so going into the playoffs. Is you got to clean some stuff up.
But that's the coaching staff.
Yeah.
That's a coaching staff for holding feet to the fire of players and saying, hey, we need to clean up our zone. And that's a five-man unit. Like I say, I don't want to let the forwards off the hook here. There's some soft play along the wall that you can be a lot better to help these D out. If you are going to have this group moving forward, then it's got to be a collective five-man unit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's on the coaching staff to round that out, too.
Jake Gardner, the bottom line is he has to figure out his ratio. Denny Savard, when he was coaching the Blackhawks, Patrick Kane was just on scene.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? You're going to cross the blue line 10 times. 7 out of 10, make the right play. Those other 3 times, I'm going to turn around, scratch my head, act like I didn't see it.
Or just,
because the other 7 are so brilliant. So that's what he has to do. Figure out what kind of ratio you are. And if it just, if the numbers don't add up, then you're going to be in trouble.
But it's even more dangerous, the position we're talking about.
Right.
You know, Patrick Kane was making those mistakes at the opposition's blue line.
And he had 3 or 4 players behind him. When you're the last guy back, like.
But that speaks to your point, though, Noodles. There's a lot of guys up front that are in big offensive slumps. And
right.
We're not yelling and screaming about them.
Right.
Because you can hide them a little bit.
You can hide them, but this is why I think I'm trying to. I may have come off the wrong way. I'm trying to add an ounce of perspective here. This is a really good team that's had a great year, that's hit a speed bump. And you're right, we could roll out Kadri as 2 goals in 29. We could roll out, you know, right
Brown,
down the list,
Marlo,
Matthews, however you want to do it.
Bunch.
But Jake is a polarizing guy, and there are some leftover feelings from the playoffs last year. Freddie, has Freddie absolved with the fans because he's had a great regular season? But if Freddie allows, in the first game of the playoffs, if Freddie is soft, people are going to be yelling and screaming at him, correct?
Right. Well, that's the way it works, you know.
That's just recency bias, right?
And it's professional sports. Mm-hmm. It's a big fan base. It's a passionate fan base. It's a fan base that I think is, you know, tasting something they haven't in a long time. You know, like, again, sometimes we lose sight about.
Yeah, the history.
It was only 3 or 4 years ago. We were in the dark ages of this team.
I get it, but
and they haven't won a playoff series in 15 years.
And I keep maintaining, like, you need to get to that next level to win playoff rounds. I think Jake Gardner is going to be a big part of that.
I think if he's on this team, he has to be.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, again, in terms of how it's going to affect the contract, I don't think last night has any effect on it for either party. I don't see how he's going to fit in the future based on the contract
the numbers,
and the cap.
I get how
he plays or how the team feels about him.
Yeah.
You know, Babcock hit the nail on the head last night. I think Babcock spoke eloquently. He's an important guy, and he's got to be a big piece for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a compliment.
It is.
You know, again, fans don't boo people they don't know the name of or that
right.
they don't pay attention to. I know that's a kind of reverse psychology.
He did not play well tonight. End of story.
Yeah. Ian up in Alliston. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, boys.
Hey, bud.
Listen, it's been a long 8 years with Jake Gardner. I'm done. I'm done with him in the playoffs. You can say what you want about regular season. That doesn't mean anything. You think this team can win four one-goal games in a playoff series against a good team like Nashville or Winnipeg? You've been taking too much of the legal stuff now, man. Like, no way. We got so much work to do. Babcock and management, they got to get their heads around this. We need some D-men. Like, Gardner, he chokes, man. He's a choker. If he was our 5-6 and on the power play, sure, I'll take it. But just the track record speaks for itself.
It's the one game in Game 7 where, you know, he didn't play well enough, obviously.
He's soft on the puck, Hazer. He's so soft on the puck, man. I'm sorry. It doesn't fly in the playoffs, man. This team is going to go nowhere again in the playoffs.
Well, I'm sensing a lot of that pessimism.
I'll give you my phone number. I'll put a brownie down on it right now.
All right, go ahead. Take this guy's number, and then we'll call you, and we'll get that 100 off you. You know, the idea that just because they're in a rut right now they can't win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, let's have some perspective here.
Yeah.
And again, if you're talking about the defense, is Gardner a part of the issues? At this current moment, he is. But it's not one guy.
No,
I mean, and the idea
not.
That you're looking at Gardner is, you know, He's a much more effective player than Hainsey is right now, than Zaitsev is, than Ozhiganov. Watch what you wish for with Dermott too, who I like a lot, and I think he's got a bright future. But there's a reason I don't think he's ready to play 23 minutes a night against the best players.
There's a reason why Babs is hiding him right now in the third pairing.
And you got to let him grow.
Yes,
you know, you
got to
give him an opportunity. He's only been in the league for a year, a calendar year.
The caller brought up one point. He was trying to be a hothead and be a hero, but at the end of the day, they can see this year and make an assessment. They're doing this big plan to see if this young group can add and win in the future. And if he's a part of this team in the playoffs, they can look at it and watch and see the results themselves and say yes or no.
Right.
Can they win a championship if this guy's in your top four playing 25 to 30 minutes a night? Because if he goes out there and he can't do the job, then you have to say, well, he's probably going to leave anyway because he's an unrestricted free agent. They don't have to worry about
it. He'll have the opportunity to, yes. But I think...
But if he's going to play 25 to 30 minutes and be a top-pairing guy, he's got to be consistent. He's got to play to his strengths, which is skating, moving the puck. But he also can't be a liability in his own zone. Can't do it. Well, Scott Niedermeyer was a fantastic offensive player.
Yeah.
Skated, moved the puck. But he was also accountable in his own. That's the only thing. He's just got to be accountable.
But
he doesn't have to be Scott Stevens. He never will be. Just be accountable in your own zone.
You're right. But and that comes back to systematic play and support as well. Like, you know, if you're the last guy back, you make a smart, safe play. I get that. But like.
Well, he was the last guy back last night. That was not smart.
It was a soft, bad play, and he has to own that. And I 100%. If people were just booing that play, I would understand. Because that's a soft play. I think this runs much deeper. But I think what I'm trying to, I guess, wrap my head around, I get and I respect the passion, but this is a very good team that, you know, there you can identify some warts, but I think you're in a really good spot. And we're taking calls, people are upset, all hell's breaking loose. Like, relax. This is there's good things to come here. It's just, if Austin Matthews scores a hat trick on Thursdays, I'm lost days here.
Thursday, they're in Tampa.
Go into Tampa and beat Tampa. We're going to have a different outlook on our mind.
I think you're right, but I think if we're going to say that, you know, you've got to completely disregard the moment, then the expectation should be they go into Tampa and they do compete, and they should have a chance to win. You know, Tampa right now is a better team, and they're miles ahead of them in the standings.
Right.
But I think, you know, Ray hit the nail on the head towards the end of the game last night. I think it sets up perfectly to roll into a place like
scared.
Tampa.
He talked about it.
Absolutely. Go in there. You know, your fans are getting antsy. Your coach has called you out. Like, Babcock called them out. Said, since Christmas, we just haven't been good enough. And that's just the reality. There have been games where they played well and they didn't get a result. The Boston game is an example of that.
Right.
Minnesota game during the afternoon. I thought they played okay and it just got away
from
them.
A sleepy game, yeah.
But there have been a couple of games at home against lesser teams, inferior teams, like the one last night, like against the Islanders, where they just haven't been good enough. But rolling into Tampa, you always have the chance to change the narrative. You know, the players are the ones that are going to determine the mood.
And to O's point, so can Jake Gardner.
So can Jake Gardner. But, like, and I expect that he will because he's a pro. Because he has been through a lot here with this team. Like, he's got a long history of ups and downs with this team.
Remember the yelling and screaming, hashtag free Jake Gardner, all of that. Like,
well, exactly.
And
he had a lot of support from the fans at that point.
And Randy saying, hey, like, I know what this guy is. Give him 300 games, then you'll know what the player is. Like, there's been, like you said, a lot of support, a lot of screaming and yelling about him. But I think people realize what he is. So, live with it. And then shape the team, shape that defensive core around that. Like, that's what I keep saying. Prop him up. Make a scenario where we know what Jake Gardner is. Okay, who's his partner? Is his partner going to help him out, or is he going to have to cover up for his partner who's a tire fire? Like, that's the type of stuff it comes back to what you said, Brian. That's more of a thought process on management, not upgrading that.
Well, and it's on them to do it. You know, it's their
job.
And
there's time. And
it's their job to fill, you know, and this is the truth, is we keep concentrating on all the money that's going to go up front.
Right.
At some point, they got to find some money for the back end. You know, yeah. It's a balance. It's a balancing act to build a championship caliber roster.
Yes.
416-870-1050. Nick up next. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you? Nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too, man.
So there's two things I want to tell you quickly. Number one, first of all, I love you guys. I'm a transplant from the other guys, but you guys are the men.
Come aboard. Well, welcome aboard.
So I love listening to you. Old Dog brings a great angle to the game, as well as Jamie. Very nice listening to you guys. But anyway, the point of the story is this, what I told your producer. I believe last night booing was the result of Game 7. And actually, I mean, I'm kind of lost for words, but it was the build-up and, I guess, the straw from Game 7. It's almost like us as fans, we were pissed off when it happened. They went through the summer with the guy. They didn't do anything about it. And then he started the year with us. We were patient. And last night was just like the guy was manhandled in front of his whole team, in front of the fan base, in the stadium, in the arena, and everything.
Okay, so what are you saying? You saying after Game 7 last year that he should not have been a part of this organization, or will it just built up frustration?
I think he just said that's a frustration, and that the straw broke last night watching that play.
Well, exactly.
But it's broken permanently, Nick? I think that's a bigger question that we have to
I don't think it's wonder. Broken permanently, but at the same time, I don't think that Jake Gardner is the end-all and be-all. I mean, why is everybody justifying his play? Yeah, he's a great player. Okay, great players don't get manhandled like that. Defensemen that I grew up with, I'm 46, I grew up with guys like Scotty Stevens, Ken Danico. Those are defensemen to me. This guy's a glorified winger. So if you think a glorified winger is going to be the guy to stop cycles for you, oh, but he's also going to give you a couple 30-foot or 100-foot passes that may or may not work out. Like the last guy said, I don't think these guys have a standing chance with this decor. And it starts with this guy. I mean, Riley's a great offensive guy, not an amazing defensive guy, but it just doesn't end. Like, you got the same guys with Riley, with Gardner, and with Dermott. They're all offensive guys. They're not defensive, scary dudes.
No, they're not. So, and listen, no. Nick, that's a part of the past. I grew up with the same guys that you look towards, the Chris Prongers, you know, the Stevens, the Danicos. There's a lot of them, and I appreciate the call. But the way the game is going, it's going in a different direction.
It is. We have to change our mindset, too.
Yes. There is more of an, like, historically, defensively, what you were, if you were of, you know, under 6 feet or 180 pounds, you couldn't even play in the NHL if you were a defenseman.
15 years ago, not a chance.
You had to be big, and you had to be tough, and you had to be able to move people out, a Darian Hatcher type,
Matvichuk, guys.
It's not like that anymore. No, it's about pace, it's about smarts, it's about moving the puck out of your zone.
You've got to be mobile. I mean, I don't know where the exact date where the transition came, but Pittsburgh won a cup with an 8-second rule. 7-11. 7 seconds if the puck was on their stick in their own zone to get out of the zone into the offensive zone. 11 if you had to go get it back. And that mantra was brought in, and that was just puck separation and go. They won it by committee that year. Because I don't even think Letang was playing at that point.
No, the first year, I don't think he was.
It was like the Coles and Justin Schultz and guys like
Trevor
that.
Daly.
You have to be mobile, and that's where I'm getting that old school mentality out of my head. Now, I like the Kevin Millers, the guys who can still advance the puck that are a little heavier, that can stop the cycle.
Drew Doughty can do that. There are some big boys that can do that.
But I agree. It's just I think we've got to adjust our mindset
and
to today's
game. I think what's
game.
Important to point out is that I would guess Kyle Dubas has concluded that that's where.
Or else Roman Polak would be here.
Exactly. There's a better chance Callie Rosen comes up and starts playing than a guy who's 6'5", 230 that can't pass.
Right.
I don't see it happening. Ray was in the building. He'll join us just after 5. Former Pro Bowl wideout Dwayne Bowe. He's got a rapping career coming up. We're going to catch up with him at 5:30. Pat Hankin on the show in the 6 p.m. hour.
And we're going to have the steps challenge.
Yeah. I got to update the people on the amount of tweets I've been receiving today.
There are some people, they made like
65 40, steps.
43 steps.
I love it. There's a movement. It's a complete opposite of activity and healthiness. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Rick Ferraro coming up. Dwayne Bowe, longtime wideout in Kansas City, will join us at 5:30. Got a couple of things I meant to get to yesterday that I want to revisit. We should touch on that White House Clemson Tigers visit again. Did you guys see the pictures? Yeah, the amount of food that was
set
out?
There were some houses.
House
going
of Carbs.
House of Carbs is what they're calling it. $3,000 worth of McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Domino's, and they had it all stationed.
Such a gong show, like such a gong show.
But there are some big boys on
there. There
were
some
team.
Linemen going to work there.
Some guy, I think, on Twitter, a lineman, detailed like his order. He started with two Big Macs. He said he walked out of the White House with a couple of chicken wraps. I think he had...
Like, what do you do? Save it for later?
Well, I guess. I mean, what else are they going to do with that?
Wouldn't
they're
be
just
going to
throw
bus
it out.
Or, yeah, I guess they would, but...
Like, I would guess Trump probably said on the way out, take everything.
Yeah, get it out of here. But still, like, how long does that last?
Well, that's what I was wondering last night. Like, they ordered it and brought it in. By the time the players got after it, it was probably chilled.
Remember last year?
Like,
didn't
it
we have
like garbage?
Didn't we have that Big Mac guy on last year? And he was like, "I buy it on Mondays and eat it till the."
What was that Don Gorski or something from Wisconsin? Remember, he's eating 30,000 Big Macs in his career.
He eats one every day, multiple
every day. He goes in twice a week and buys like eight at a time, and then
keeps them in the fridge and just eats them.
And just mucks Big Mac after Big Mac after Big Mac. What 30 grand.
What a pig.
That's
a pig. See, I do an overdrive in Vegas this Valentine's Day. The O-Dog Noodles and I, we're all heading off to Vegas, and we're ready to become your groomsmen. We've been asking people to send emails to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. The deadline is come and gone, so it's over. But someone is coming with us. Someone and their significant other is coming with us, courtesy of tripcentral.ca, flights, accommodations, whole nine. And we have someone else that has submitted their resume as to why they should be joining the crew to Vegas. We have Courtney on the line. How you doing, Courtney?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. So tell us about your submission. I understand there was a video that was shot. There was a Harvey's burger involved. What happened here?
So we essentially recreated our actual proposal where Matt, my fiance, surprised me in our apartment with a ton of tea lights all lit up, and instead of a ring this time, he gave me a Harvey's burger, and I just wanted to make sure that there was ketchup on it before I said yes.
Very nice.
Oh, I love
very
that.
Important.
Is there ketchup on that?
Quick question. How did you guys meet?
So we have a friend that Matt went to high school with and I used to work with, and she started a ball hockey team. And she essentially coerced me on joining the team because there was a lot of single guys on the team. And it turned out Matt was actually the only single guy on the team. And and then we played ball hockey, and I kind of friend zoned him for a year.
Wow.
So what caught you off guard off the bat? Was he just not cutting it for you? Or
I think it was just timing. So, just.
What, you had other, like, irons
other things
in the fire?
On the goal?
Like, why? She had to move on from other things. She's just waiting.
Why was he in the friend zone for a year?
I had just gotten out of a long relationship and was playing the field.
Nice. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. I like that he stuck
that.
In there.
We really put that into consideration.
A friend
like
zone.
That
he,
a
stuck,
lot.
He stuck it out for a year.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He's quite the inspiration.
Okay.
There you go.
And you guys are both big Overdrive fans, and obviously you love Vegas, and you love each other. I mean, this all kind of sounds pretty good to us. So we wish you nothing but success and good luck. And someone, I guess, Steph, will be reaching out at some point. And good luck with this, Courtney. Thank you for doing this.
Awesome. And I love all you guys, but dibs, O-Dog, standing on my side of the altar.
Wow, the bridesmaid.
Yeah,
love it. Can
I'll
you wear
be in the friend zone for you.
The suit.
You
and
guys
the hat.
Are wearing the Dumb and Dumber outfits, though, right?
Yes.
No, not a chance. I would never wear that. People are putting that picture everywhere. I
it was
like
on Jay and Dan.
Jay and Dan.
Last
Dan. Did you
night?
See Jay and Dan? All right, we'll tell you in the break, and we'll
no,
come back.
No, we're not telling you in the break.
You got it, Courtney. I'll make sure of it. The O Dog, your bridesmaid, and Noodles and I will be on the other side. Okay.
Awesome.
Got
Good
it.
Luck with this.
Thank you.
There's Courtney, another hopeful, you know, she's a candidate, her and her fiance candidates for what's going to happen in Vegas.
Yeah, the Jay and Dan picture last night, and that was like on a large screen, like that was...
Yeah, it was uncalled. There were a lot of pixels involved in that. It was uncalled for. We'll tell you about it. We'll get to it next.